Phones are wide open. Telephone number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I'm going to take up a topic that we talked about yesterday on our Ask the Pastor Bible study a little bit. Sometimes these things can carry over. Our guest for this hour of the conversation is Pastor Jeff Alexander, pastor at Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Greenwood, Indiana. Pastor Alexander, to quote Ed McMahon, how cold is it?
0 degrees.
Zero.
Chuck. 0 degrees.
Now, see, that presents a real problem. Because if you were the kind of guy who would like it to be, say, twice as warm as zero.
That's right.
What happens? How do you figure that
exactly.
out?
Exactly. That's why, you know, it's kind of like what we do in our congregation when we offer our lay leaders incentives to stay on in their board positions. We offer to triple or quadruple their pay.
Ah.
You know, it works pretty well.
Now they fall for that, do they?
Sometimes. Actually, a person that would fall for it, I don't know if we'd want in leadership, would we? Yeah.
I'll leave that one in your
court there.
I'll leave that one in your court there. Greenwood, Indiana is close to Indianapolis, isn't it?
Yep, just on the south side of Indianapolis.
It's a suburb.
Mm-hmm.
How did you take it personally? Because you haven't been there too long, what, 2-3 years?
Just about a year and a half.
Year and a half, okay. Time flies when you're old like I am.
Yes.
What did you think when you heard that Tony Dungy was going to retire?
Well, I think it was a sad day for all Colts fans, but I think many people knew that it was coming, that he's been toying with the idea for some time and just wanting to spend more time with his family and some other issues. And so I think many people sadly knew that that day was about to come. And what a great man and what a great leader he has been in the Indianapolis community. And people just really look up to him, not just for being an excellent football coach, but for being a strong Christian who's outspoken about his faith. He's done a lot of things with what's called All-Pro Dad ministry that he encourages men in their lives as husbands and fathers. And so just the impact that he's made upon our community has been remarkable. And I was really excited to see in the paper here yesterday that one of our senators, Evan Bayh, is recommending to President-elect Obama that he tap Dungy for a lot of faith-based fatherhood initiatives in the new administration. So I'm hopeful that that takes place.
Oh, really? Well, that's exactly what I have before me here and what we talked about yesterday and what I wanted to talk about with you today. But before we do that, let's connect some theology of glory dots here, if we could. I'm trying to figure this out because it seems that no sooner that you got out of Phoenix...
Mm-hmm.
That the Arizona Cardinals are in a position to go to the Super Bowl.
That's how it works, Chuck.
That's the way it works. And that you went to Indianapolis, and now Tony Dungy has retired.
Exactly. You know, what can I say? I graduated from Concordia Seminary St. Louis in 05, and the next year the Cardinals won the World Series.
And you left, right?
Yeah. And actually, every time we move to a new area, one of our favorite restaurants in the past area shuts down, too. It's happened four times in my wife and my relationship with each other. So I don't know.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Well, we're
I don't know if that's the kind of impact a pastor's supposed to leave on a community.
We're going to be done with that for now, but we are going to keep track. We're going to record the outcomes of your various travels and moving around. So yesterday we found out that Evan Bayh, who is a senator there in Indiana,
mm-hmm.
thinks that Tony Dungy would be an outstanding fatherhood czar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we talk about Tony Dungy as fatherhood czar, you are a father.
Yes.
Your kids are all very young, so you're still on the, like, in the first couple of innings of fatherhood there. Tell me about what it's like to be a dad. And don't give me the glib, tell me what it's like to be a dad.
I tell you, I think it's the biggest responsibility that I feel in my life. It's a lot bigger of a responsibility than it is even pastoring a church is to being a father. And right now, you know, we have three little boys, and I think about their lives, and Lord willing, they will all grow up and be husbands and fathers of their own and pass things on from generation to generation. And so honestly, I think that it's a huge responsibility is what I think about first with fatherhood. I also think about it's tough. It's tough, and it's to raise kids well and to take time for your kids and to watch my own life closely so that I'm modeling for my children in my own behavior what I would want to teach them. And so I think, first of all, great responsibility, and secondly, I think it's fun. You know, the joys of parenthood definitely outweigh the stressors of parenthood, even though the stresses can be many when you're shuttling kids to and from school, or just dealing with bedtime, or wrestling the kids to actually pick up their toys. You know, there's a lot of things like that that I think a lot of people in our culture today view children as being inconvenient because of all of those things. Oh, well, I can't live my social life like I used to because I'm always bound by the sleeping schedule of my kid and things like that. But by far, the joys of seeing children grow up outweighs the stresses any day. And I think that one thing that I hope to model, not only for my kids, but that my wife and I can model for our congregation, is that being a parent is the greatest responsibility, yet the greatest blessing that a Christian can receive and can offer to the next generation of kids.
Now let's refine that just a little bit.
Sure.
I may be asking you to restate some things, but let's refine a little bit. Talk to me about not being just a father, but being a Christian father.
Being a Christian father, I think back to what it says in the book of Deuteronomy about how you are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and how, you know, Jesus picks up on that idea and calls that the greatest commandment. And tied right in with that in the book of Deuteronomy, it talks about loving God, loving each other, and the first and foremost responsibility as far as showing that love for God is by the love and care that you show your family. And so as a Christian who is a father, I view first and foremost my main way to serve the Lord is not through the pastoral ministry. It's not through any other, you know, kind of ministry that a Christian person can be involved with, but it's through their relationship with their wife and their children. And I view that as the topmost responsibility and calling on the life of a Christian man. And so I think that that deserves, therefore, our best effort. It deserves our best time. It deserves our best use of resources, everything. And it comes back to that because you are making an investment in the lives of your kids. It's not just going to last for this life, but also carry on to eternity. And having been a pastor now for several years and ministering to families, you really see a lot of heartache that comes from parents and many times regret when kids grow up and maybe not renounce the faith of their parents, but definitely don't follow in their parents' footsteps as far as actively being in worship on a weekly basis, receiving the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, following Jesus daily as a disciple, growing in God's Word. When they see their kids not carrying on like that, many parents live with a lot of regret and blame themselves. And a lot of times as a pastor, I've had to encourage people to remember that children grow up and they end up as adults making decisions for themselves. But at the same time, what we're focused on as a congregation, that we're seeing a lot of young families coming in to our church family with a lot of young children, is to trying to instill those values of a Christ-centered family when those kids are young, so that they will not only have education opportunities and youth group opportunities and service opportunities as a congregation as those children grow up, but also that their parents are equipped to build strong Christ-centered marriages and also be equipped to be Christ-centered, law and gospel-oriented parents in the lives of their kids. And I view that as a significant calling for myself individually, for myself as a pastor, and also for our congregation to support families as they go about loving God and loving people with all that they are.
All right, let's pause right there in our fatherhood conversation for a moment. We've got a caller. Our numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Phil. You're on the Ask the Pastor Bible Study. Good morning.
Good morning. Before I ask my question, I want to say that the the restaurant's closing down, the sports teams, what's happened to you there.
Yeah.
It can't be a curse because Jesus was a curse for you, so you
there
can
you
talk
go.
That out. I appreciate that.
Phil, you're ruining my deal here.
You're ruining Chuck's ammunition here.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, my question is in Acts chapter 15. I was reading, and it said that some men came down from Judah and was teaching that that the Gentiles had to be circumcised. Mm-hmm. And on verse 6, it says that the apostles and the elders, they gathered together, and they wanted to consider the matter. What I'm asking is, do you think that they was considering the point on circumcision, whether the Gentiles had to be circumcised, or maybe considering the matter, how are we going to handle this?
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to see what
you're looking for about. A little speculation here this morning, huh, Phil?
Please.
All right, sure. We'll talk about it. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. I would say both. I would say both to Phil's question is that, yes, they were considering the idea of what circumcision meant to people in the New Covenant. And as we know from places in the book of Romans, especially Romans chapter 4, where Paul is talking about what circumcision was even in the Old Covenant. So I think that they had to revisit that idea of what circumcision was, is that in Romans chapter 4, it talks about how Abraham was actually justified before God prior to being circumcised. When he trusted in the promises of God, he was justified by faith, and circumcision became a seal of that covenant that was by faith. And so even in the Old Testament, you weren't saved by the work of circumcision, but by faith. And so I think they need to revisit that and to look and say, okay, let's deal with the circumcision issue. And then also, yes, that second thing that would have been a greater issue for them was, as a church that was now just getting started, filled of people that were Jewish in nature and background and culture and custom, but also non-Jewish and Gentile, who those non-Jews were not required to be circumcised. And so they needed to deal with the issue. Okay, what are we going to require in this new community called the church that is made of both Jews and Gentiles? And ultimately, the only thing that stands in this new covenant, this new relationship that God brings to us, is that we are saved by God's undeserved favor, His grace, and we latch on to that grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So faith alone is what saves us, and so they would need to deal with that issue. As Acts 15 goes on, they did make a judgment in their assembly there of four specific things that, for good order and for health purposes and just for unity in this new Jew and Gentile body called the Christian Church, as far as abstaining from food polluted by idols, sexual immorality, meat of strangled animals, and from blood. So they did come up with four agreements as far as what would kind of classify them as people in this new covenant community. But ultimately, I think, Phil, you're onto it, that they would have had to deal with that issue. Okay, why are we really saved? What really marks us? And we see throughout the New Testament that ultimately what marks this new community of followers of Christ is not the sign of circumcision as much as it is the fact that we are saved by God's grace through faith in Christ.
All right, let's go back to the fatherhood question here. You are a father of three small boys.
Yes.
But you are also a son.
Yes.
You have a father.
I do.
How does that relationship, your dad to you, assist you or inform you on how you conduct yourself as a father to your sons?
I am grateful every day for the family that I was raised in and for a wonderful mom and dad who are both followers of Jesus and raised me up to know Christ. And so I rejoice in that. So I think back to how my dad was towards me and how he invested in my life, how he took time out of a busy schedule as a banker, you know, to make time for me, whether it be just sitting around and talking about what I did that day in school, or taking time to be there and support me in athletic events, or going outside after dinner and shooting hoops or playing catch. But most importantly, of instilling in me the value of following Jesus, of growing in my relationship with Christ, where I saw in the life of my dad that it was much more than just a Sunday morning, 1 hour kind of punch the clock relationship with God, but it was something that he lived out his entire life as he loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And my dad never claimed to be a perfect person. None of us is. And he was open. When he was wrong, he would admit it. But at the same time, I saw a guy who loved Jesus, who gathered in worship weekly, who went to Bible study. I remember him getting up early on Wednesday mornings to be part of a Bible study group. Great things like that, that he modeled for me what it meant to be a Christian man. And a Christian man was a person who was a wonderful husband and a wonderful father. And so I think back to that often now as I'm raising up three rugrats of how my dad was towards me, and I want to model my dad. It's kind of like what Paul says. I don't know the chapter and verse off the top of my head where he says in the New Testament, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. And so I think that when we look at these earthly role models in life, like for me, it's my dad would be one of the foremost. But also in our culture, like a guy like Tony Dungy or Kurt Warner or people like that, we look up to role models not to follow them per se, but to follow them as they follow Christ, so that their life is a reflection of Jesus and is pointing us back to Jesus. And that's who we follow.
So it would appear that Senator Evan Bayh thinks that there is a fatherhood problem in the United States, mm-hmm. and that it would be good to identify somebody who could help us as a nation, as a people, address this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a fatherhood problem in our country, Pastor?
We have a huge fatherhood problem.
Can you define that for me?
Yeah, sure. I think a big part of it is that you have absent fathers, and so you have, I don't need to be the statistics person, but you can easily find the statistics that talk about the numbers of fathers who abandon their kids, who leave their wives, or the quote-unquote fathers who will impregnate women and then don't make any commitment to that woman as far as even caring for her or for the children. And so there's a huge problem with that. President-elect Obama took some heat from many people during the campaign for talking about that. A guy like Bill Cosby takes a lot of heat for talking about that. Tony Dungy takes heat for what he's talked about with that. So there's one issue is that they're absent. But then even for many fathers, this is what I've seen a lot of firsthand, many fathers might not be physically absent fathers, but emotionally, spiritually, relationally absent fathers. But here's where I am very hopeful that a guy like Tony Dungy, and I've seen this in our community, and I hope that we can see this in our whole country, he has a niche because he's a football coach. And so many absent fathers get so caught up, I think, in things like football and baseball and golf and sporting events and boating and fishing and hunting and all that kind of stuff that they're so wrapped up in their leisurely activities that they forget about investing time in their kids.
You know, I have the, as you well know, I have the privilege of being a sports official, so I officiate various kinds of games at various mm-hmm. kinds of levels. And, if there is a problem at a game,
right.
it's not coming from the kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming from the fathers
right.
and the mothers.
Right.
And this is almost a black and white description here in terms of it's not some kind of mixture of the kids and the adults. It's the adults.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So is that part of the fatherhood problem?
I think that's a big part of it.
How so?
Well, for a couple reasons there. And I've seen that firsthand, in my self-playing athletics. My oldest son has just started last year playing a little athletics, so we haven't seen a whole lot of it as parents yet. But I think one is that you see a lot of people that are trying to live out their childhood again through their children. And I'm sure you see those guys in the stand who are always riding the officials or even yelling at their own kids, yelling at their kids' coach, whatever it is. Or, you hear stories from people that I'm friends with that have a little bit older children. They talk about just mass emails that are sent out by parents who are basically starting a coup to remove, a little league coach because people are upset about the playing time that their kids are getting or whatever. So I think a big issue is that people need to grow up. Plain and simple.
Well, that's exactly what they did. They grew up,
yeah,
and that's when it got bad.
They grew up physically, but they did not ever grow up emotionally. And there comes a point where we have to say, is it really worth it to get this worked up about something that's happening in my 6-year-old's Little League game.
So what makes you think, Pastor Alexander, that mm-hmm. Tony Dungy,
yeah.
God bless Tony Dungy, all the good things that people are saying about him are true.
Right.
But what makes you think that Tony Dungy is going to be able to stem this tide?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of like throwing a BB at a hurricane?
Sure, sure. It's kind of, it's kind of like when we try to reach the world for Jesus Christ, you know, every time we proclaim the good news, you know, we set these high goals for ourselves, knowing that, hey, you know, not everyone in the world is going to repent and believe the good news, but we still try, and we still proclaim that gospel and let God do his work. And so, you know, I think Dungy would be the first to admit that a victory for him as far as mentoring men to be spouses and to be fathers in the lives of their kids, it might not change hundreds upon thousands of people, but even if it makes a difference in one person's life, for a guy like Dungy, it's worth it. And we've seen that in the Indianapolis community, and we believe that he is a great man. And he's also, if you've read anything that he's written, his best-selling memoir, A Quiet Strength, he's got another book coming out called Uncommon. And he's very upfront about admitting his own personal struggles and where he has failed or dropped the ball in both his professional and personal life. And so he's very humble in his approach and not saying that he's got it all figured out, but as a follower of Christ who strives to do his best as a husband and father and also definitely was striving to do his best as a football coach, I think he has a lot to say.
Let's take another call here, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Joe Jean, you're on the Bible study.
Hi there.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question for Pastor Jeff.
Yes.
How would he answer the question, understanding that a father has a great responsibility to raise his children with Christ in mind, and how difficult that is, how would he respond to the children, you know, not only do we have fathers who aren't maybe quite as involved in their children's lives as they should be, but you also have children that don't quite understand, you know, what the father is trying mm-hmm. to do. You know, they're 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, and at times the children might even say to him, I just wish you didn't care so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hard on even the children when the father is, possibly trying to do everything he can so that his children would understand the importance of Christ in their lives. Just wanting a response on that.
All right, we'll talk about that. Thank you for the call.
All right, thank you.
Make some notes there, Pastor
sure,
Alexander.
Sure, yeah.
I don't want you to start your answer here because I just have to interrupt you.
Okay.
So we'll take up her question on the other side of the break. We're talking with Pastor Jeff Alexander, who joins us here today and is in quite a unique position, I think, to address some of the things we're talking about here. He is a young father. He has come from a family where mom and dad, I think, arguably did their duty and loved their kids. And so he's got something to share with us. Plus, he's standing in the shadow of Tony Dungy out there in Indianapolis. So we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. We'll address that question. Stay with us. You're listening to the Bible Study, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, if you'd like to join us here on Ask the Pastor.
Hi, this is Dr. Bill Meyer for Focus on the Family's Weekend Magazine. Coming up this weekend, why parents need to talk to their kids about sex, and early. How living together can make parenting problems worse, and more on the celebration of human life. That's all coming up this weekend on Weekend Magazine.
Saturday morning at 10:04 on AM 850 KFUO.
To those who have been caught up by the devil's doubts and the world's denials, come and see. Jesus lives. To those who are confused or who question the love of the Lord, the Holy Spirit says, come and see. Jesus gave his life so you might have eternal life.
Pastor Ken Klaus, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m.
What's so unique about water? Find out next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
According to evolutionary theory, all matter and energy were the result of a huge explosion called the Big Bang. The laws which matter and energy must follow are also the result of that same great explosion. The first question which comes to mind is, how could an accident have produced the seemingly careful designs we see the way certain important materials behave? Consider water, for example. Water is essential to life. Water, which is the basis of our blood, carries dissolved food to the deepest cells in our bodies, along with oxygen, so that our cells can live. Water dissolves the wastes and behaves in just the right way, so that other organs can remove those wastes from our bodies. Is it an accident that only water, the very same material basic to the materials of life, can also do all of these unique jobs? Water also refuses to act like most other materials outside the body. For example, we all know that when any material is turned from liquid to a solid, it becomes more dense and therefore heavier. But when water freezes into ice, it doesn't do this. It gets lighter. If it got heavier, ice would sink in our northern lakes when formed, and they would quickly freeze solid, killing all life in them. The unique properties of water are only a few of the millions of so-called accidents which had to happen just so, in harmony with millions of other details, in order to make life possible. Simple water testifies to a wise creator.
For a free copy of our Creation Resource Catalog, visit our website at creationmoments.com. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
The theme for Law and Gospel for the year 2009 is not I, Tom Baker, being a teacher to you, being a student, but rather I, as teacher to you, also a teacher of the faith. If you have any questions on this theme or any other subject, either covered by the program of your choosing, the next broadcast is an open line.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on AM 850 KFUO.
Faith in the Midst of the Jungle, the Women's Day of Renewal 9 will be held Saturday, March 7th at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. The keynote speaker, Elaine Bickel, will help her audience focus on faith in God is our only source of peace and confidence as we navigate through the jungle in which we live. You'll be able to personalize your experience with two workshops. There is a cost to attend. For more information, visit goodshepherdcollinsville.org or call Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and find out more.
We had a caller just before we went to break who raised the issue of the kids. Sometimes fathers are too present, maybe. The way she put it was, you know, Dad, I wish you didn't care so much.
Right.
Need some space here.
Yeah.
And you seemed to kind of have a sense of exactly where she was going. So go ahead.
Yeah, I think so. I appreciate that call from JoJean. About that, and I think there's a lot of different ways that I would address that. I think the first thing is that many parents try so hard. I made some comments in the first half hour about many people who are absent fathers or maybe don't care enough. I think there's so many people, the majority of parents that are out there care so much for their kids and want to give it their best. And I do think some of the inactive parents in our world kind of give a bad rap to all parents. And most parents that you're going to meet want to really strive for their best in the lives of the kids. And I believe that for Christian parents especially. And so what I think JoJean was talking about was that there are times where the kids are like, well, just give up. I mean, why are you trying so hard? And there's a fine line between trying so hard and putting forth your best to instill a love for the Lord in the lives of your kids and then exasperating your kids. In other words, wearing them out. And it says in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. What a great word, exasperate. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6 verse 4. So I don't have a pat answer for that other than I think that it's important for parents to be able to give the why to their kids when they're saying the what, you know, we do this, or we go to church, or we go to a Bible class, or we care for the poor, or we watch out for each other, or we do strive to be together for dinner at night and not just be disjointed. Why do we do that? And I think that it's important for mom and dad to be able to communicate the why to their kids, because we love each other, because this is who we are. We care for each other relationally. We care for each other spiritually, because that's what families are for. And so the bottom line for a parent is wanting to instill in your kids a love for the Lord, and where they see mom and dad walking in a relationship with Christ. And so, therefore, the parent is modeling in their behavior what they're also trying to teach with their words. And so that even, I know how teenagers are, relate to them, you know, almost every day in my ministry, but definitely every week, a chance to be with a group of teenagers and pre-teenagers. And I think that the more that they can see that we are genuine in our love for God and wanting to follow Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, they might gripe about what they're asked to do. They might poke fun at it. They might think the parents are old-fashioned, but I believe that in the end, a child who has been raised by parents who really loved God and loved their children will see the value in that, and I pray will grow up to do just the same in their own personal lives.
Now, I'm going to disagree with you. I understood you to say that you were hopeful that Tony Dungy would take this challenge if it were offered. Did I hear you say that?
Yeah. I'm very hopeful. Are you not?
No, I hope that he doesn't.
And okay, tell me why.
And here's the reason, because I listened to Tony Dungy in his press conference as he announced his retirement, and he was not just open about his faith, but he was describing the process of making the decision, comparing that to the Apostle Paul, when Paul said, you know, if I stay, that'll be good, but if I depart and go to be with Christ, that's even better. He described the process of his deciding whether to coach the Indianapolis Colts or to move on in life as a kind of a win-win outcome. Jeff, you have to know that if Barack Obama were to make Tony Dungy America's fatherhood czar, that the media would turn on him immediately, and they would begin the destruction of Tony Dungy, looking for every weakness and every flaw, this otherwise exemplary man to destroy him. I don't want that for Tony Dungy.
Yeah, you know, you make a good point, Chuck. And I think that because of that fear, many of our nation's best stay away from the high-profile jobs in both government and, you know, obviously in politics and even in things like this, you know, being recognized figures in the world of sports and then also in Christian ministry. And so, I can see why he would probably have that fear to stay away.
Don't you think that Tony Dungy, if he were to take such a position, would be out in American culture saying, be faithful to your wife, nurture and love your children.
Yeah.
If you're white or African American or Latino or Asian, don't be fathering children out of wedlock by going, you know, from woman to woman.
Sure.
Don't you think he'd be saying things like that?
Of course he would.
You know.
And he would take a ton of heat for it.
Oh, he would take a ton
of heat. And I think that here's one thing that I would hope that Tony, if he does agree to serving as this, and gosh, I hope they don't really even unofficially call him the fatherhood czar, because that just sets him up for failure. But to not do too much, because I think that the best way that he can serve, and I think probably the primary motivating factor for him retiring from the Colts was that he needed personal time with his own wife and kids. And so I hope that whatever he decides to do post-Indianapolis Colts is that it still allows him a lot more time with his own wife and kids than he's been able to have while he's been coaching full-time. And so that's the first and foremost, like I said, calling in our life is to devote our energies and our time and our resources to our families. And so I hope he models that. And if in modeling that, he can make a statement and also do some great teaching to our country, I hope he does it.
Now, I mentioned, you know, tackling this is like throwing a BB at a hurricane. There was one who did that in Old Testament language, and that was David. David, without any armor, only a slingshot for a weapon, going up against the great Philistine warrior Goliath, didn't have very good odds there.
Right.
But he did. He was chosen by God to do that.
Sure.
So, is it possible in 21st century America for Tony Dungy to be David to the Goliath of the fatherhood problems we have in our culture?
Absolutely. With the God, you know, Jesus says, with God all things are possible. And so I trust him on his word. You know, I also trust what Jesus says in the book of John about, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so for those who belong by faith to Jesus Christ, who cling to him, the world has been overcome. It's not our job to save the world. Christ has done that by his death upon the cross for the sins of the world and his resurrection over the grave. He's already taken on that challenge of overcoming what the world has to throw. And he also has given that promise to Christ followers that in him the world has been overcome. So, yeah, that's why I hope that Dungy, if he turns this offer down, wouldn't do it because of fear of what the media might say or the world might say or what people in his own ethnic community might say to him if he were to make some strong statements, but ultimately that he would make that decision upon what he believed would be the best use of his God-given talents and abilities to make a difference in the lives of other people.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Rick, you're on the Bible study.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. Pastor Alexander, I've got brown eyes, but when I heard you talking about your childhood, they turned rather green. And Mr. Dungy accepted this call that we don't even know is going to be put out there, I wonder if he would be defeating his purposes for, you know, initially taking the retirement.
Right, right.
And I didn't get to hear the complete first half of the program. I don't know if this was brought up, but the shadow of his son's death, and Mr. Rathard talked about how the media would just tear this guy up, which, you know, they would. And if that would play a factor in any of this at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a father of an 18-year-old daughter that's in Florida going to school. We have a horrible relationship. It's her way or the highway. Dad doesn't know much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Appreciate your prayers.
Absolutely, Rick.
Along that line.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
I think there are many Christian men, Rick, who can stand with you in that challenge of having a child that you love so dearly, and you've seen a relationship definitely that isn't where you want it to be, and that's something that I know you probably pray about every single day, and I would encourage you to keep doing that and to find a network in your local church of men who may be going through the same thing, or if not currently dealing with that, have dealt with that before, so that they can be there to stand with you, because that is certainly a challenge for many Christian fathers throughout the world. And like I said before, you know that, you know, we struggle with that, where it says in Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go, and when they're old, they won't turn from it, but then we've seen, you know, people turn from it. And so my encouragement would be that you keep loving and praying and sharing the good news of Jesus and doing everything you can on your end to keep that relationship intact, but also knowing that when a person grows, you know, a lot of times bad decisions are made in how they reciprocate in a relationship. And ultimately, we're accountable to God for ourselves. And I think that we strive to give it our all, to love God with all that we are, and to love our neighbor as ourself, and to invest in our children, and in that. And it's, I'm sure that is very frustrating and challenging to your faith to go through that. So I just can't encourage you enough to find a group of Christian friends that can stand with you and support you as you go through that. In my pastoral experience, even here at my current church, I've spent many hours talking with people in a similar situation as yours, and I will add you to my prayer list, Rick.
It seems to me, Pastor Alexander, that if somebody were to embark on a quest, a task, somebody like Tony Dungy,
mm-hmm.
to shore up fatherhood in America, which is sagging badly, that sooner or later, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to deal with the question of sexual morality, sexual mm-hmm. immorality.
Right.
I don't think that you can take up that task without eventually having to address that.
Right.
Is it appropriate for a man to live with a woman, maybe even father children, without the commitment of marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible for a young couple to live together
right.
before marriage in a sexual relationship, as so often is the case now? Is it possible for a man to live with a woman who has children? He is not the father of those mm-hmm. children, but he is in the house. And all of those things, it seems to me that eventually he would have to take a stand on those if
sure.
he were going to sort of be the guru on fatherhood, would he not?
Absolutely, he would.
Well, you know what? As soon as Tony Dungy or anybody else draws a boundary and says, no, that is wrong,
sure.
I hope he's got his catcher's mask handy.
I think that's where a career in the NFL has probably prepared him, with a thick skin. And I think that anybody who takes a stand has to have that thick skin. I mean, I know that you do in your ministry, and I know that I do in my ministry, and I know many people out there listening know what that means, is to be able to take that strong stand. And yes, will it be disagreed with by many? Yes. Will you have some people downright even hate you for taking that stand? Yes. But when you are standing upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ and biblical truth, you're not standing alone, and you have God's word beneath you and above you, beside you, before you, and behind you. You know, that is where we stand upon God's word. And as Christian people, we know that God is powerful in his word, and that he promises that we don't stand alone when we're standing upon his promises.
I have this theory that the current hostility in American culture and unfolding hostility to Christianity, because it seems like we have to display tolerance for every position except the Christian position, is because not so much that Christianity is espousing Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, although there is some of that, but it's because Christianity is the religion that says divorce is wrong, adultery is wrong, fornication is wrong, premarital sex is wrong, abortion is wrong, homosexual activity is wrong. It's Christianity that holds those positions,
right.
and therefore it's Christianity that is held out for contempt
right.
by
right.
enlightened folks in our culture. Now, this weekend, I don't know what it'll be for you there at Mount Olive Lutheran Church.
Sure, Sanctity of Human Life.
Sanctity of Human Life. Well, that Sunday for some churches. But one of the readings that happens to come around, and maybe not for you if you are turning to readings that pertain to the sanctity of human life, which many churches will do.
Right.
But according to what do we call that? The pericope? Is
mm-hmm.
that what we call that?
Mm-hmm.
One of those big holy words?
Right, right.
1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 through 20.
Yep.
Will be read by folks in many churches this weekend. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Everything is permissible for me." And those of us who like to engage in all kinds of sex activity without any boundaries, we like that.
Just stop right there, huh?
Yeah, we'll just read that and be done.
Why can't that be our pericope? Yeah, that's what people think.
Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Verse 18. flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, this is antithetical to American culture today. Flee from sexual immorality. We are not doing that.
Right.
We are fleeing to sexual immorality.
Right.
Or we are running to sexual immorality. And given the fact that that is a significant undercurrent in our culture, I don't think Tony Dungy's got a chance. Is the fatherhood. I won't use the term czar.
Right.
I respect your reluctance to give him that title, but Tony Dungy doesn't have a chance.
Sure. The uphill battle the whole way.
Well, I'm such a doubter, I'm surprised you're not calling me Thomas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, come on, Thomas. Come on, Thomas. Yeah, yeah. No, that reading is, I think the reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which is assigned for this Sunday, fits in perfectly with what we'll be talking about with sanctity of human life, that God values the life that he gives, and that he values it because, first of all, he's created it. It says in Psalm 139 that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God knit us each together in the womb of our moms. And how marvelous that is. And so every human being has that stamp of God's ownership upon it because he has created life. And then we're doubly sacred and doubly should be respected as human beings because we've also been bought at a price of Jesus Christ offering up his life upon the cross for us to buy us back from sin. And so what I commonly will teach on to my people is that we do what we do because we are who we are. And so why do we flee from sexual immorality? Why do we want to flee from sin of any shape and size? Why do we want to be great mothers and fathers? Why do we want to do certain things and obey the Ten Commandments of God? It's because who we are. And it's because we have been not only created by God, but redeemed by the Son of God, Jesus Christ, bought back from the life that ultimately leads to destruction and being sanctified and set apart for a life that ultimately leads to a never-ending existence with God in heaven. And so you're right. For a guy like Dungy, for preachers and teachers, for any Christian who's sharing the good news of Jesus with somebody else, it's always going to be what seems to be a lose-lose situation. But ultimately, our victory is not found in ourselves. It's found in Christ, who we proclaim. And so, yeah, we'll be reading that scripture lesson at Mount Olive this Sunday and talk about how we value life and life is sacred and how we use our bodies should reflect the sacredness and the holiness that we have because God values us as people he's created and also redeemed in Christ.
Now, we've got just about 4 minutes left here. If the dialogue begins in our country about fatherhood, what is responsible fatherhood, and maybe, just maybe even, godly fatherhood, how long will it take before we get to the question or the issue or the reality that God is not just our God?
Right.
He is our Father.
That's right. That's right. And then you'll have some of the people that will say, well, you know, that right there is discriminating because we should also call God our mother or something like that. You know, you'll have those crazies or then you'll have the people that want to file lawsuits that say, well, you can't even use the term God, and God forbid you use the word God, and you can't talk about godly living or these biblical principles because, of course, they'll claim that violates the separation of church and state. And you'll hear all that same old stuff that I don't even think merits much discussion from us because that's the point of it in the first place, that they get more airtime by crying foul about it. But, yeah, it comes back to that where we have to say the fatherhood of God. And who God the Father reveals himself to be in Scripture, I love thinking about that we, in Luther's Catechism, we talk about God being omnipresent, present everywhere, omniscient, knowing everything, all-knowing, and all-powerful, omnipotent. And thinking about what a father can provide, a Christian father can provide for his children, modeled after the greatest father ever known, who is God the Father. a Christian father can provide presence in the life of his children, just being there and being a dad. He provides strength and power in the life of his children and showing them what it means to derive and to get strength from your relationship with Jesus Christ, and also to provide knowledge and ultimately giving knowledge of the Lord to his children. And that's, it's a great way to think about who God the Father is and how we look to him as our Father, as our provider, as the author and the perfecter of our faith, and how in a relationship with him, when that is secure, when we are loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we turn right to those closest to us and we love them as well.
It seems like we have a very vocal group, although I think a distinct minority in this country, that goes run screaming into the night whenever somebody brings up God or God as Father or separation of church and state. They just go crazy.
Sure.
But I'm of the opinion that the much larger segment of our society is saying we are weary of the adversity and the consequences that come from tearing down all these boundaries. And we might just welcome a credible man like Tony Dungy.
Right.
Who would be willing to say these things, and as you correctly put it, I think, has a thick skin, which has been developed over many years in front of the cameras as far as the NFL is concerned, 31 years as a player and a coach, who maybe could take some of those barbs and persevere through it. If he decides to do it, I'll pray for him, I'll stand next to him, and we'll do what we need to do in order to reestablish some semblance of order as it pertains to fatherhood in this country.
That's right. I think you're right, Chuck. I think people are ready. I think they see the impact that a lack of fatherhood, or just either no fathers at all or bad fathering, can have in the life of kids, and how that impacts society as a whole. And I think many people are ready for whomever that person is. And I'm thankful for President Obama and the stances that he's already taken upon that, and saying, and he's modeling a good fatherhood for us, and we'll see that in his administration. And I thank God for President Bush and his modeling of that and what he did during his 8 years as a president. And we've got a lot of work to do, and I hope the Lord continues to raise up people like Tony Dungy and Kurt Warner, who I hope gets to the Super Bowl.
I do too.
And other people that have that that they're out in the public and they're seen and they're visible, but are using that platform for so much more than selfish gain, but also how to impart wisdom from the Lord into the lives of people who may not listen to a Jeff Alexander or Chuck Rathard, sad to say, but hey, they might listen to Tony Dungy.
Enjoy the weekend, Dad.
You too, Chuck. Reffing any games?
No, actually,
okay.
I'm not. I'm
All
just
right.
going to be taking it easy.
Stay warm.
And you too. Pastor Jeff Alexander, here our guest on our Bible study conversation for our Ask the Pastor Hour, and we're grateful for his contribution. He is pastor at Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Greenwood, Indiana. And we'll get back to our Bible study conversation on Monday as we finish the book of James. Hope you can join us then.
85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the internet at kfuo.org. For a free copy of the Bible study, please visit the audio archive section of our homepage. That's kfuo.org. The Bible study is a broadcast service of Worldwide KFUO.